please be seated. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part. Today's first reading and our gospel both deal with the theme of hospitality. Just 2 weeks ago, the gospel also contained this theme of hospitality, which we find repeated as a theme throughout the scriptures. 2 weeks ago, we heard how Jesus sent his disciples two by two, and how they were commanded to accept the hospitality set before them and to bless those who provided the hospitality. This Sunday, in the first reading, we hear how Sarah and Abraham exhibited radical hospitality to three strangers who appeared in their home. They offered the strangers the very best that they had and were given the promise of a child. They were entertaining angels unaware, as we hear in the letter to the Hebrews. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. We learn that these three strangers turn out to be messengers from God. They tell Abraham and Sarah, who never had children, they would now have a child. By the way, Abraham is 100 years old and Sarah is 90, and has promised a son who will fulfill the covenant promise of God he made to Abraham to have so many descendants that they cannot be counted. The moral of the story is, welcome the stranger without any hope of reward, and you will be rewarded beyond your wildest dreams. In today's gospel is the brief story of Martha and Mary, in which Martha and Jesus tell her sister to help prepare hospitality for their guests. And we hear that familiar response of Jesus, Martha, Martha, you have worried and been distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. For most of us over the years, when we've heard this passage, we've heard stories that kind of along the lines of Martha versus Mary. Which one was right? Often we hear sermons that seem to put the value of work as an opposition to contemplation. But I have another perspective. I believe Jesus is doing something here that would have been totally countercultural where he lived. A few years ago, I read a commentary by a reporter who was embedded with the Taliban in Afghanistan. He wrote about how when they ate together, the women were separated from the men, which doesn't sound that surprising from what we know of Muslim culture, where men and women are often separate. He said what really surprised him was the way in which the people were fed. The women prepared the food for the men to eat. The men would eat until they were satisfied, and then what was ever left over on the plates was given back to the women to eat. Not only were the women hidden from the men to eat, but they were given the leftovers that the men did not eat. The reporter said he was shocked by this cultural norm in that community. From our American cultural context, this sounds monstrous, at least it does to me. Can you imagine having your mother and the women in your family wait patiently out of sight until the men finish their meals and then serve them the leftovers on the men's plates? In my house, those plates would have gone flying across the kitchen. Or imagine any of us having one of our community dinners here until all the men ate and then the women would eat the leftovers. Imagine last night the plates coming to the kitchen, partially eaten pieces of chicken barbecue on the bones, and Judy or Alberta or Joan or Marcia or any of our women being told, here's your dinner, now you may eat. That would be the very last dinner served here at St. Peter's Church. In my mom's Slovak culture, they would give the leftovers to the dog, and they had a term that they would say, žer, which was the command for the animals to eat. So when my mother was angry with us at the table, she would yell, žer, and we knew what she meant. No more fooling around at the table. Yet it was this kind of cultural environment in which Martha and Mary had conversations with Jesus. So if this was the cultural context, Martha was simply asking Jesus to remind Mary of her place and her normal duty, which was not to sit with the men and be taught by the rabbi. For Jesus to turn around and say Mary chose the better part by sitting at his feet was actually a challenge directly to his culture. He was making a countercultural statement. Women had just as much right to learn about the scriptures and be taught about God as the men did. In this short passage, Jesus shows that he was a feminist. In his culture, only men were allowed to study scripture and have theological discussions. This was not the place for the women. Also, this tradition of only men studying theology is not that far away from our own context. Remember Fiddler on the Roof or the movie Yentl, in which Jewish rabbinic culture reserved study of theology and scripture to men? Women were not allowed to do so. In our Christian context, one of the major disputes of the Protestant Reformation 500 years ago was over the ability to read and study the Bible. The Bible was published in Latin, and reformers fought and died for the right to simply publish it in the languages of the people. Up until then, scriptures were read and interpreted solely by clergy, who all happened to be men. In our own Episcopal Church, we only have to look at July of 1974, when 11 women were ordained as priests in Philadelphia by 2 retired and 1 resigned bishop. A quote in the paper said, "The event caused great consternation among the church hierarchy. On August 15th, the House of Bishops called an emergency meeting, denounced the ordinations, and declared them invalid. Charges were filed against the dissent bishops. It wasn't until 1976 General Convention that approved the ordination of women. And we have the fruit of that here in our midst this day with Donna, our deacon, and Marge Rockaburton, who's a guest today, and she is also a deacon and served at my church when I was going through the ordination process." Up until then, the authority rested only with men in our own church, a practice that is still alive in some churches. As he usually does throughout the gospel, Jesus turns conventional wisdom and systems of power upside down. He affirms Mary's place at his feet to experience his teaching just like the men. The Abraham story with the angels and the story of Martha and Mary in the gospel may seem to have conflicting perspectives on hospitality. In Abraham's case, providing hospitality to the stranger garners the promise of descendants. In the gospel, Jesus doesn't diminish the role of providing hospitality, but he rather uses the opportunity to challenge his culture to rethink who has access to the Word of God and the overall place of women. In all cases, our job is to use our teachings of our faith to challenge and inform the status quo. Our Anglican tradition invites us to use our reason, the brain God gave us, to interpret the stories of Scripture through the lens of our own cultural context. Even the framers of our Constitution understood the value of this principle when they wrote the first article of the U.S. Constitution. Ironically written and adopted largely by Anglicans at the time. There's a whole sermon in this point, but briefly, the separation of church and state is to protect the voice of the church against government interference. The Constitution left intact the imperative for the church to use its moral authority to speak truth to power, not the other way around. Maintaining the voice of religion in the public sphere is a recognition on the part of our founders that ultimately the ways of God are not the way of the world. We see this in both of our stories today in Scripture. How is it possible that 100-year-old men and 90-year-old women became ancestors of what today constitutes 3/5 of the world's population, unless God's plan wins out over the plan of man? How can a woman enter the domain of men without God's enlightenment, piercing the practices of the culture and challenging what most people took as accepted and settled practice? Jesus says, there is only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part. My brothers and sisters, what shall we choose?